it's a daily grind that really requires you to wake up and sign up all over again for the mission and the hustle and the effort that's required to see it through. And I had to ask myself, if I just keep going and the natural course of events is I will do this forever because I love it, what might I regret later? It starts with the founder having an irrational belief in the long-term potential of their idea. Not in days, not in months, not in years, but if you're going to really do something well, you have to be willing to commit a decade.
Welcome to the Moment, a new podcast by Canadian Business and Quill Podcasting. I'm one of your hosts, Jason Maganoy, the publisher of Canadian Business, and I'm co-hosting this podcast with Fatima Zaidi, the CEO and founder of Quill.
We're talking about the not-so-glamorous side of startup life, the moments we don't always get to hear about, the time when founders had to make a sharp pivot, start over from square one, or ditch an idea entirely. These are the real stories of what it takes to make it as an entrepreneur.
Each week, we're welcoming a new entrepreneur to talk about that moment where they were faced with giving up or powering through.
Subscribe and follow wherever you find your podcasts.
This week, we're speaking with a visionary in the tech world, Satish Kanwar. Satish is the tech entrepreneur and the co-founder of Good Future, an innovative family office and venture that's building a community of entrepreneurs focused on creating positive impacts on the world. Satish's journey is marked by significant contributions during his 10 years at Shopify, where he was instrumental in driving the company's product acceleration strategy, leading over 30 strategic acquisitions and expanding Shopify's reach across multiple commerce channels. His path to Shopify began when the company acquired Jet Cooper, a design studio he co-founded. Now with Good Future, Satish is focused on fostering innovation and collaboration within Toronto's vibrant tech ecosystem, while also serving as the board chair of BetaKit and a board of director of Toronto Global.
Satish, welcome to The Moment. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited to chat.
So with The Moment, we're really speaking to entrepreneurs who have, you know, lived the experience of being a founder and have words of wisdom and opportunities and nuggets to share with our audiences, which is a lot of founders, entrepreneurs, small business owners. And I really want to take it back a little bit and talk about your experience building Jet Cooper. You're one of your last companies before you joined Shopify. I believe it was acquired by Shopify. What was the moment at Jet Cooper where you felt like, yes, we're going to make it? And I'm also curious, were there moments at Jet Cooper where you felt like maybe this wasn't the right idea and that you wouldn't get to the finish line?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think as you said, every small business owner, entrepreneur, founder, what you know is you never feel like it was the right decision.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship is one of those, mm-hmm. you know yourself from your personal experience. It's a daily grind that really requires you to wake up and sign up all over again for the mission and the hustle and the effort that's required to see it through. And Jet Cooper was no different. You know, we started as, young professionals that were trying to build in the technology landscape in Canada, but we weren't developers. We didn't have technical skills. We didn't have access to traditional sources of capital. So we're like, what do we do? And that's where this concept of an agency came from, because we thought it could be a bit of a sandbox. In the arc of those 5 years, our opportunity became this well-timed entry into the market when a lot of Waterloo U of T engineering grads were starting to get into YC, attract US capital. And they were in this like post, RIM, post mobile landscape, really trying to build exciting new software again from Canada. And so as they emerged and as they grew, we grew with them. And I remember, seeing one of our first clients get acquired and seeing one of our second clients raise a very serious amount of capital from the US. And both those phone calls came back to us and said, let's keep building together. We're not going to be able to internalize what you do because it's that special. It's that unique from a talent perspective in Canada. And that's when we knew, we're like, oh man, there's something to keep building here. Like, we can scale this by being the strategic design partner to companies that are not just tiny U of T Waterloo grad kind of startup, but are becoming the next generation of Canadian, tech powerhouses.
So it's interesting. You Jet Cooper was operational for 5 years before you got acquired.
That's right.
How did that acquisition even come about? What pieces of advice would you give them? Like, how should you be setting up your company for success? And I'm curious how that acquisition even came to be.
I really subscribe to that, luck is opportunity meets preparedness kind of philosophy. And, you know, for us being at that 5-year turning point in the business, we were really starting to ask ourselves, hey, are we getting complacent in this business model being a service provider, an agency? It was supposed to be that sandbox, remember? And now it's this like real thing. And I'm so far from the work and my co-founder is getting further from the thing that we love. We wanted to build technology and software in Canada. And the opportunity was that Shopify came knocking the way many of our other clients came. You know, they had just raised a Series B. They were looking to expand their portfolio of products. Shopify at that time was a couple hundred people based just out of Ottawa. And they said, hey, we've heard a lot of great things about you folks, Jack Cooper over in Toronto. Maybe we can work together. And our main point of contact there said, actually, I forgot one detail. What do you mean? Like, we're ready to go. We're excited about this work. He's like, Toby, our founder, he doesn't really like working with agencies. So we haven't told him yet. We're going to send him to Toronto to meet you. And you can convince him that it's a good idea to work with you the way we all think it is. Toby flies to Toronto. We tour the office. We sit down for coffee together. And in that coffee, you know, I'm like, okay, this is going well. I think he really likes what he sees. We, you know, we work with so many software companies. Like, that's our jam. We do design for startups. And halfway through, he kind of interrupts. He says, you know, I love everything that I see here. I love it so much that I think we need to do this as one team. Like, will you join Shopify?
So it was an acqui-hire.
I was like, the audacity of this guy right now. We're talking about working on a deal together. He's like, will you join Shopify?
Yeah.
But back to that preparedness, I was like, well, hold on a second. Like, we don't know what we want to be when we grow up in this business. So we're not sure if we want to build the next IDEO, Accenture, or other things. And of course, you know, we say like, we'll think about it. We meet with the other people, leaders, people around the hallways, people in the lunchroom. We're like, these are our people. Like, you could switch any of these people and put them in the Jack Cooper office. Yeah. And like, we have the same values, same vibe, same goals. And they've happened to stumble upon a dramatically better idea of how to, you know, build something commercially.
You're stronger important together.
Yeah. And so that was it. 10 weeks later, we joined Shopify, and that was the rest of Jack Cooper's history.
That's amazing. So again, opportunity and luck played a big role, being in the right place at the right time, but you were set up for success.
Yeah. And you've got to trust some of those intuitions, right? Like, totally. It wasn't something we were like, let's go sell this business. But we were ready to think differently about what our future might entail.
You know, your 5 years at Jack Cooper being a founder, was it your like first entrepreneurial venture?
First real company.
Okay. Yeah. First real company. And then 10 years at Shopify after that. What are some key lessons that you felt like you learned throughout those milestones in your career that really translate into tangible advice for founders? If you could even distill it down to, here are the three pieces of advice I would give to small business owners, founders either going through an acquisition or even just starting their companies up, that I think would, you know, really help set you up for success based on, I'm sure, the many roadblocks you've encountered. would love to hear some of those insights.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the most consistent gifts that I had through my career was being extremely focused on establishing a clear and repeatable vision. I think at all points in time, we were heading into unknowns, whether it was dealing with changes in the market landscape. We always concentrated on being very clear about the future state we were trying to achieve and how that differed from where things were today. With the work that you execute, it dramatically reinforces the power of that vision you set out. Now, something that was like, here's what this person thinks could be possible is like, that might be possible. That's becoming possible. That is the future world and state.
Amazing. That's really good advice. Like, knowing your North Star and being true to your North Star, coming back to it so that everyone feels aligned on the vision. I think that that's really sound advice. What about your 10 years at Shopify? I mean, that was a really long stint. How did you finally decide that you wanted to leave?
It's one of those things where I realized that I could very well do this for the rest of my life, for the rest of my career. Loved the people. I loved the mission. I loved what I was doing. And it was that exact feeling that scared the shit out of me. It forced an introspection where, coming into that 10-year milestone, I had to ask myself, if I just keep going and the natural course of events is I will do this forever because I love it, what might I regret later? felt like a great time to call it, but mostly because I wanted to figure out what I could be when I grow up again.
I mean, I think you've landed in a really great place. I mean,
we're still figuring it out. Yeah.
You know, you acquired Beta Kit, which was incredible this year. Congratulations on that. And of course, you and Aarti launched Good Future, an innovative family office where you're building a community of entrepreneurs that are looking to make more of a positive impact on the world. So I'm curious what brought that idea along. Is that something that you've always sort of gravitated towards?
As you said, Good Future is our take on the modern family office. We're trying to take our resources, our time, our ideas, our capital, and funnel that towards the communities that we believe should exist in the world. And we do that by identifying people and ideas that we can get behind, that we think through their success, we'll see and reinforce the values and communities that we care about. And we do that through venture investments. We do that through operating businesses and acquisitions. And of course, our foundation. That's kind of the tools that we have available in our kind of toolkit to help enact that change and that vision. And a big part of that has been minority and women founders, has been Canadian tech and innovation, has been South Asian culture and communities. These are attributes that or areas that we feel passionate about, and being a family office, we get to express that passion through the choices that we make and where we allocate that time and that capital. So, the types of companies we invest in are varied. We invest in tech and media and retail and D2C, in all kinds of sectors, because we're more committed to the founder persona and the value system of those people than necessarily that we have an AI thesis that we need to go lead. Great set of companies, over 50 of them at this point in the portfolio. Companies like Cotton that makes ethical clothing, companies like Willful that helps Canadians with their long-term planning, companies like SheerTex that, produce, amazing and innovative products and materials worldwide, and so many more. And they're all just reinforcements of the people and ideas and future, the good future that we want to see in the world.
You just talked about this founder persona, and I have to just come back to that because I want to know, what is that founder persona? You mentioned it's one of the key things that you look at when deciding who you're going to invest in. And a lot of the companies that you just listed, I think the founders are absolutely incredible people, and I may be biased an advisor for a few of them.
It starts with the founder having an irrational belief in the long-term potential of their idea. Like, I think if you're not head over heels committed to like almost an absurd degree to making an idea, a concept, a problem, a change in the world come true, then it's impossible to last the 10-year time that you need to make that successful. And I just think, from seeing it, from the investments we've done, like, those are the people that persist. They last, they out hustle, they out work, they out learn, and they create amazing, incredible realities in the market, like some of those companies that I mentioned.
I mean, that is a really good way of putting it. You have to have some level of like irrationality to take on this journey. I mean, it's like not for the faint of heart. It's a really tough journey. And it's, again, like a marathon, not a sprint. You're in it for the long haul. And it's almost like having children. You if you want it to be successful, you can't exactly give it back. You can't order one. And then there's a refund policy on it. And I feel like building a business is something that you really have to commit to for the long run. And you need a really strong like foundation of like work ethic, which is the bare minimum, I would say, but more than that, tenacity and grit. I think the irrational component of it makes a lot of sense, because you need them to continue. And if it was easy, everyone would do it.
Exactly. And much like you said there, I really believe, even looking at my transition from Shopify, that good decisions reveal themselves in decades, not in days, not in months, not in years. But if you're going to really do something well, do something meaningful, do something impactful, you have to be willing to commit a decade. It's that degree of investment of your time, energy, health, resources, everything,
right,
that really, I think, is consistent with the commitment, irrational commitment to following through.
And we definitely need more of that. I mean,
you
took over Beta Kit. The acquisition was so strategic. It also, I had called Douglas up like way into your discussions with him with the same thought, which is, hey, are you looking to potentially sell beta kit one day. I'm interested. And, you know, he's like, we're already at due diligence with another partner. And at the time I didn't know it was you, but I am so curious, you know, what really inspired you and Arthi to reach out to them and want to sort of take over beta kit in a new direction. And I'm also really curious, what are your long-term goals with beta kit? I mean, we have a really small market here. It's 30 million. We can't compare it to our American neighbors with 300 million. And so how are you going to scale?
One of the things that we're most passionate about is the long-term prosperity of Canada. And we believe that the economic prosperity, when you look out in decades of this country, require innovation, technology, IP, all of those good things that we know about to be successful. And one of the day-to-day struggles we see talking to founders, especially post-pandemic in this market, is a complete disconnect or fragmentation between them and each other, meaning that people think that either no one cares about what they're working on or no one else is working on anything right. interesting. And neither of those things could be further from the truth, but the challenge is just believing that in this new generation of entrepreneurs is enough to create doubt. Doubt that leads to talent migration out of the market, doubt that leads to lowering the bar of vision or quality or outputs, doubt that means, you know, changing numbers and what you think you can raise and who you think you can raise, all of those things. And our inclination to reach out to BetaKit and what ultimately prompted the transaction working together is we felt that journalism and storytelling were probably the most powerful lever that we could support to change that direction.
Right. That makes a lot of
sense. To provide people connective mm-hmm. tissue, provide the power of information that would help them better understand that so many people are working on amazing things. So many people care about what you're doing. And we had this really fond kind of memory of growing up through the ecosystem. And I think many founders can speak to it. And the first time you launch something or raise money, the person that wrote about it was BetaKit. The article you could yeah. send to your mom or it's your friends BetaKit. Was BetaKit. That was your first fund. And that was just this amazing kind of realization point for people that in that, you know, journey we talked about gave them hope, gave them conviction, helped them. And we want millions more of those moments. And for that, we wanted the strongest possible BetaKit, which we believe if storytelling is that challenge, that's a problem we have to solve for ourselves in this market. We can't expect a US publication or global writers, or we can't be at the beck and call of others to fill that critical gap for us. So that's where Good Futures ethos connected yeah, with BetaKit's potential came together. And over this past 9 months, I think we've done a lot of work together to make that 100%. Better.
You know, one thing that really surprised me from that conversation is how optimistic you and Toby were in terms of Canada's future. And as a small business owner, I can transparently say that I don't feel super optimistic right now. It's never been as hard as it is right now to get ahead as a Canadian founder. Do you truly believe that Canada can get to a place where we've made a lot of progress in a lot of the areas of concerns mm-hmm. I just addressed? And how are we going to get there?
Mm-hmm. First off, I love the frustration. I'm frustrated too. Frustration is the fuel that many of us are using to try to spark and move change. I think that frustration comes from a place of we care about this thing. It hurts to see it fail or falter or not live up to its full potential. And all of this optimism is actually just channeling that frustration into a message of focus and future. Which is to say, there are things that we as entrepreneurs who care about this market can change, and there are things that we cannot. And we should and are, and people will do a lot to influence the things that they can't directly change, but that they can hold their government and policymakers and institutions accountable for. That's very, very important. But outside of that, as a founder, you have to take ownership for, well, what can I do? And the most important thing that any well-meaning entrepreneur, young, new, emerging, successful, established, two-time, three-time, public, anything, most important thing you can do is build an extremely successful company based in Canada. That doesn't mean a company that only serves the Canadian audience.
Yeah.
Please know. That doesn't mean a company that only has operations in Canada. Please expand to those markets. Yeah. It doesn't mean any of those things, but those that founding energy, team, roots, capabilities, resource, you got jobs, employment, all of those things happening here from this market and being shipped, exported to the rest of the world and leveraging what other markets can do well for your business as well. That is the Canadian spirit of business and entrepreneurship. That is the success that we need. None of that happens without solving housing. None of that happens without solving some of the cultural issues happening in our cities today. Those are all parts of the process, but we wake up every day and where can you focus and apply your frustration to good things? And that's build an amazing, incredible, successful business. Only you can control that.
That's true. And if we did decide to offshore, then we're a part of the problem. Like that is part of the problem, is that so many amazing companies decide to take their business elsewhere. And, mm-hmm. and we really need to think of it as like a community project to move this forward. I think this sort of brings us to our last couple of segments. So I want to end with a question that I ask every entrepreneur. And it's a question that I borrow from Guy Raz at How I Built This. And this is a question I ask every entrepreneur because I'm so curious how all of the responses are so varied. What would you attribute your success to? If there's one thing you could distill your success down to, from Jet Cooper to your 10 years at Shopify, Good Future, Beta Kit, is it luck? Is it being in the right place at the right time? Is it work ethic? Like, what would you say your North Star is?
Humility. I think one of the most important attributes for an empathetic leader is humility. It's going into new situations and new problems and never feeling like I am the smartest one in the room, that I have all of the answers, that the work is beneath me, that I'm incapable. It's to say every situation is new. Every situation is different. I approach every situation with the same kind of like desire to learn, desire to grow, desire to win, and never take for granted where I'm coming at that problem from. And I think that's just such an important way of being able to sustainably build over time. And I hope to be building for a lot longer.
Well, I think we're going to end our last segment with, it's a rapid fire round.
Okay.
It's for the audience to have the opportunity to get to know you.
Amazing.
Beyond what they see day to day. And short, snappy answers, no time to think. What's one thing people don't know about you?
I used to do improv.
What's one thing you wish you could change about Canada?
The weather.
If you could instantly learn one skill, what would that skill be?
Boxing. I'm trying to learn right now. It's like everything about being a founder in a sport.
What is your mantra or motto to live by?
You make your own happiness.
What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
If you're going to eat shit, don't nibble. which is part of going back to the happiness thing. There's going to be problems, and I try very hard to not put things off, to deal with challenges slowly. It's like, you just gotta, there's the elephant. We're going to talk about it and we're going to resolve it, because it dragging in my brain affects my happiness.
I'm going to borrow that one from you. I'll give you full credit for
okay,
it.
Okay, amazing.
What's your biggest pet peeve?
Oh, slow email responses.
What is the hardest thing about growing your company?
People. You know, which is why I lean on empathy and relationships so strongly. But a company is a collection of people. More than anything, the people make the IP, the people make the process. Those things, they degrade, they fade when the people leave. The people are the value, and therefore they're the hardest part of building companies, is managing, recruiting, supporting amazing people.
And describe living in Canada in three words.
Very good food. like land of opportunity. The geographic spread, like we have in Canada, you can experience like four seasons, every kind of terrain, every kind of culture, one of the best and biggest dense cities in the world to the most beautiful remote locations. I was just in Halifax, been to Vancouver so many times. Like we're just, it's a gorgeous spread of land.
I feel like you could be an influencer for like, you know, Canadian tourism. Yeah. Like there's a new calling for you, Satish.
But Toronto food.
Yeah,
Toronto food
is the best in the world. We're spoiled for choice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Satish. It's always such a pleasure sitting across from you. I would say that every time I meet you, my encounter is the same. You are one of the smartest people in our tech ecosystem, but also one of the kindest. Thank you for actually, you know, living with humility and bringing that to every presence and conversation that you have.
I appreciate the time. Thanks for having me on the show today.
There are two defining moments in Satish's career that really stand out to me. The first is when he decided to sell Jet Cooper and join Shopify. And the second is when he decided to leave Shopify to start Good Future with his wife, Arthi. He said he loved everything about his role at Shopify and he could see himself there forever. But that's exactly what scared him because he felt like he was holding himself back from opportunities to learn and grow. It's not easy to step away when everything is going great, but I think that's what makes a true entrepreneur. The ability to want to keep embracing challenges because true entrepreneurs know best learning is done at the edge of discomfort.
So Satish gave his definition of what he thought the persona of a founder yeah. is. So what is it? So what are non-negotiables? What do you need to see in a founder?
I actually do on some level agree with what Satish said, which is this irrational belief that your idea is going to make it. I do think that's true to a large extent. I will say, just to take it one step further, it's not just an irrational belief that your idea will make it, but the ability to know that even if you don't have product market fit, that you trust yourself to be able to iterate or pivot to eventually make it. So I actually think you need to strike a balance of like, this is the best idea in the world, but also not having rose-colored lenses because you need to be able to listen to the market, listen to what the data is telling you, and take feedback from your customers and partners and stakeholders. And so for me, I think great entrepreneurs are resilient. They can keep going and they can actually figure out when something isn't working so they don't just keep doing the same thing over and over again, and they have the ability to iterate and pivot. I think that paired with the ability to outlearn and outwork everybody around you is what truly makes a successful entrepreneur. And when I think about a lot of my mentors or advisors, Michelle Romano, for example, let's take her as an example, 5 failed businesses before she launched Buytopia, and Buytopia was a success. We don't talk about those 5 failed businesses often, but what she has is the ability to keep going and keep putting herself back out there and keep iterating. So Jason, as someone who works at CB, Canadian Business, you work with a lot of entrepreneurs and you're mentoring a lot of entrepreneurs, the future of tomorrow. So I'm curious, out of all the folks that you work with, what are the common values and traits that you're seeing amongst many of these founders?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the first thing that I see a lot is smart. They're just smart. They're really, really smart. They like solving problems, which is great. And also like high risk tolerance. Like sometimes they'll describe their business to me and I'm like, you quit your science job for that? That's kind of nuts. So it's this combination of just being really, really smart, really being comfortable trying to solve problems and taking a lot of risks. And I find that really incredible. It's funny, like they're not things that you just like train someone to do. It's like, it's kind of embedded in their DNA.
Thank you for listening to The Moment. We strive to bring you something different each week because we don't need another podcast with a bunch of finance bros sitting around their microphones talking about dropshipping. Just like the founders we interview each week, we're here for the real talk. Want more? There's an easy way to make sure you don't miss a new episode drop. Subscribe and follow wherever you find your podcasts.
But don't stop listening yet. Please rate their podcast, review the podcast. We'd love to get the word out. So please let us know what you think. And don't forget to share this episode so that we can learn more from these incredible entrepreneurs and their stories from the moment everything changed.